It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because I got a whole bunch of that stuff. And with me, we have Ed on the board today. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing fine. Where is your sidekick, psychic?
My sidekick, Lynn Thornley, is not here today. She had massive dental work.
I thought she was gallivanting again.
No, she's not gallivanting today.
I'll be your sidekick.
Because St. Patty's Day is next weekend.
I know
Friday.
I know that.
So she's going to be loaded up, isn't she?
Probably.
Everything's going to be blinking.
Oh, you know it. There'll be lights here and headbands.
I thought you meant she was
going to
be loaded.
Yes, shamrocks.
Well, that too.
I mean,
we're going to check her drink on the way in.
So that other extra voice you hear is my friend Rick and Corvia. Welcome, Rick.
Hello. Nice to be here.
I'm so glad you're here today. And I also have Sabrina Curtis here from Accent Care. Welcome. We're going to talk on the second half of the show. The first thing I want to do is give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Sandra in St. Pete, we have BB in Clearwater, and we have Michaela in Tampa. And like I say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen to us on AM FM, on YouTube, on Facebook, on my website, or wherever they will take me, because I just want to help caregivers in any way I can. I know that it's a tough journey. But as I always say, it can be the most horrific experience in your life, or can be close to beautiful, depending on how you handle it.
True.
So I'm very excited to say, though, that I'm hoping next Friday, when I come on the show, I will be an official great-grandmother, because my granddaughter Skylar in Colorado, Skylar and her husband Devin in Colorado Springs, as she's starting to dilate. So before you know it, baby
great
Landon
grandma.
Is going to be here.
Wow.
He's going to be my Landon lovey, I decided. So I'm very, very excited about that. So Sky, don't worry, it's going to be a piece of cake. Just like my birth, it's going to be a piece of cake. Don't worry about it. So that's so exciting. So Rick, it's so good to see you.
Same.
Rick is my good friend. He's been on the show many times. He's a fabulous author. He's a good friend. And as many of my listeners will know, he is Mama Rose's son. Because I always talk about Mama Rose, and people go, who's Mama Rose? And I said, oh, she's Rick and Corey's son, mother. And explain the whole deal. So I met Rick, I don't know how many years ago it is now, it's been a while. And I read one of his books, and he read my book, and we started chatting, and then he came on the show, and then he introduced me to his mother. And what happened then?
We brought her on the show, and she stole the show. She came on and started talking all about the first day she met her husband. They were married for 72 years, and she just told one love story after another. It was pretty neat to go back.
It was fabulous.
80 years, going back to what it was like to meet somebody.
And today would have been her 99th birthday.
99th birthday, but she passed maybe a week ago now. I'm losing track.
Yeah.
Today after the show, I'm going to the celebration of life, and I have to do the eulogy. I'm a little nervous. How do you wrap up 100 years of life in 3 minutes?
I don't know.
You know, you don't, but I'm going to give it my best.
You give it your best, and she'll be there with you. And,
yes.
And she just loves, like my mother loves, because she's, now your mother and my mother probably met by now.
Right.
My mother loves when I talk about her.
They're on the show together right now.
Yeah. So I'm glad, Mom. I'm glad you and Rose met. I didn't think about that. That's a good
That's
part
right.
of this thing.
Yep.
But you know what? Of course I'm sad that she's not here, but I am so privileged to have had a relationship with her and to meet her, because she really became my friend.
So Linda would visit her when she was still living at her home. She'd visit every Wednesday and just hang out and talk, and I remember you came out to interview her, and it ended up she interviewed you.
Yeah, it was funny.
And that's just how my mom was.
She was a little down and feeling a little down and out, like she needed a purpose or whatever. So I said, can I interview you? I need to get my fire back. My husband had passed away. But most of the time, she'd be interviewing me.
Mm-hmm.
But the stories we heard, I mean, she told me that her mother used to work for a company. Her job was to go out and measure women for corsets.
True.
And she said to me, it wasn't any fun when I went with her. Some of them were fat, some of them were smelly, some of them were like bony, she said. And I swore I would never wear a corset, and I never did.
True.
But we had great relationship. And she used to always say to me, she said, God brought you to me, Linda, because you're just like my mother.
Yeah.
Because her husband always said that she talked to everybody and she talked too much, which is exactly what my husband said about me.
And she could walk up to anybody. She didn't look up to or down to anyone. She'd be at a high society function thing, and she'd walk in the wrong place by accident, and next thing you know, she's talking to the president.
Friends.
Oh, yeah. And her husband, look at her. Look at her. She's talking to the president.
Yeah.
Didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter. 9 children in your family.
Yes. So when you say I'm her son,
you're the favorite son.
Couldn't get out fast enough. No, I won't say that. Not on the radio. But I was just one of 9, and they would never say who their favorite was. It was always, the answer to that was, whichever child needs me the most at the time.
Oh, that's fabulous. Oh, I always say with my parents, I'm the funniest child. And I can go for that one.
Okay. That title was open.
Yeah, that would work. Well, I remember when I asked my mother at one point why she moved to Florida, and she said to me, because out of all the kids, you make me laugh the most. Because she hated Florida.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, that's let me stand on my head now, Mom. What do you want me to do next?
And what I really think it was,
mm-hmm.
like the book says, the one she trusted the most as she was aging.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to trust your peeps.
When you start to lose trust in yourself, it really, then who do you trust? And that's what my last book was all about. Who do you trust when you can no longer trust yourself?
Well, you know, so there was a journey with Mom. And so Mom was living home alone. And when I first met her, she was home at night alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, she wasn't home at night anymore.
Sundowners.
And since they have a big family, you know, it was like she had a whiteboard in the kitchen. Mary's coming at 10, Rick's coming at 12. You know, there was always people there. But then it turned out in the afternoons when she was home for a little while, she was crying.
Mm.
And if you asked her if she was crying, no, I'm not crying.
Right.
You know, but they had the monitor, and I talked to her one day, and she's like, I'm not crying. I go, Mama, yeah, you are.
She would walk into the bedroom and forget you were there, and she'd just cry and cry. Mom, are you okay? Yes, I'm fine.
Yeah.
She'd come back out.
Yeah. So at that time, her family decided to look into adult daycare. And I think adult daycare is absolutely fabulous. And so they picked an adult daycare, TLC.
Fabulous place.
Fabulous people. But nobody wanted to tell Mama that it's time to go to adult daycare. So they call me up. They call in Team Linda. So I call Mama and I said, Mama, I work at this place. Could you go there and help me out? I need an assistant where I work.
A volunteer.
Volunteer. So I said, I actually did a couple of free programs at the community, at the adult daycare. But you know, Mom, I'm on the road a lot, so I won't be here that often. But what I need you to do for me, I need you to be a good example.
Right.
So when they say it's time to get up and go do this, you're the first one to get it. And she loved that. She had a job, and it was fun.
Yeah. I got to volunteer again, and I said, yes. Oh, my gosh, I just got a call from Tom. Now he wants you there 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Why do they want me? You're a good example.
You're a good example. You're absolutely fabulous. And then there was the next phase then.
Yes.
So now she's doing some wandering at night and stuff, and there's a discussion about going into a senior community.
So we called Team Linda again.
Really tough one. So we called Team Linda. And Aravilla was a fabulous choice.
But the way that you did it was beautiful. You said, I have an elderly friend that's thinking of checking in here, and we'd like the opinion of somebody her age. She's your age. Will you come tour the facility and tell us what you think?
And eat some of the food, see if it's any good.
See if you
and
like
stuff.
She, now that she didn't think she was necessarily the one checking in, oh, she's going to love it here. This place is beautiful. And so she started doing that. And then it was you bring her in again. And it was a little bit of a handoff. But she started to get so bad at that point, even near the end, it was always her first day there.
Yeah.
So she'd say, oh, I just got here. I don't know what's, you know, I have a room here. And
do I like it here?
Do I like it here? So this, I started to really do the reinforcement. She would say, how did I end up here? And I would say, just lucky, I guess. You know, you and Dad did some good planning. You knew you were getting older. You had this place picked out. And for her to think she had more to do with it.
She had a choice.
She had a choice. It made her feel better about it. I said, you know, Dad was supposed to move in here with you, but by the time they finished building it, because it's brand new,
mm-hmm.
by the time they finished building it, you know, Dad had passed. But since it's paid for, she always worried about money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She had to. But she always worried about money, so.
But I remember you saying that to her. Your dad always was a good planner.
Yeah. And then it became the story that we planned for this. I was a part of it, and it just helped her to relax in it. Otherwise, parents could get, they could get very angry. Why am I here? Why did you put me here?
And, right.
And
yeah, and remember, you were a guest tipper a couple of weeks ago. How do you approach when you go to the community?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see, Rick was there long enough. You see the guests, the people that come in and visit. You see the people that don't come in and visit, that don't even come at all.
Some don't get any visits.
And then how do you go in when you approach it? Do you go in because you got a frown on your face or whatever? Or you're like, hey, girls, you know, what's going on? Right. Rick was friends with everybody there.
Yeah, you put away the cell phone, you walk in, and you prepare because they're looking at you. Are you an enemy? Are you friendly? Are you going to try and stick something in me and take my blood? Or are you just going to
take me somewhere I don't know where I'm going?
Some of them just want to hold your hand and pretend you're their, that you're their son for a little while. Some just want to tell you their story. Some are very paranoid, and some still think they're on a cruise ship. In fact, at the end, Mom or any of the guests would ask me, where are we? And I would say, you're on the cruise ship Aravilla. Nothing but partying. Because they were worried, where am I supposed to be? I think I'm
right.
Lost. And I would say, your only mission here is you're supposed to show up for breakfast, lunch, and dinner because they cooked you a special meal. Otherwise, your job is to be entertained. There's so many things going on. If you feel like staying in your room and reading a book, that's fine. And how will I know if I'm missing something? So they'll come knock on the door and say, Rose, everybody's playing Rummy right now. Or
the music band's here.
Music's starting now. Do you want to join? And you could say yes or no. There's no wrong answer. Because she was always so anxious about, everybody knows what they're doing here but me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. But I'll tell you one of the best things about that place, too, is live music twice a day. That's a big deal.
They tried to cut it out at one point. There was some budget stuff. And the staff, everybody said it.
Nuh-uh. No. And you know how important music therapy is.
Yes, I do.
Because besides working in your capacity now, you're a music therapist.
I am. So I actually started off with Accent Care as a music therapist, and I worked in that capacity for about 2.5 years before I transitioned to my position now, which is being in charge of our volunteers and our community outreach.
So you know how important the music is.
Oh, yeah. I would always try to gather not only my patients that I had to see, but in bigger facilities, I would try to get everybody in the memory care unit together. So that way I'm seeing my patients, but they don't feel like they're missing out. They're getting that socialization. They're hearing music they enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you can just see so many of them know so many of the words, especially if it's the right person playing, you know, or the Frank Sinatra or whatever it is, their era, every one of them are just singing along or at least lip syncing, or you can see they're back in time, some eyes closed,
yeah,
and they just go to their happy place with the music.
Yeah, yeah, it's absolutely fabulous. So, Rick, you wrote a bunch of books, and your latest book is Everything I Ever Wanted.
Right.
You guys can see it here. Hope you can see it. You'll be able to see it. And this book really touched my heart. So this book is about Rick gets amnesia, right?
Yeah. I've spent so much time lately in the memory care watching all these people slowly forget who they are. I mean, brilliant, brilliant doctors and surgeons and famous dancers and politicians. It doesn't matter who you are.
Right.
You're slowly being erased. And so I thought I'd put myself in those shoes. And instead of actually having dementia, I was in a car crash and I woke up with amnesia and I no longer remembered my wife, my children, any of the people I met, you.
Right.
Didn't know any of you anymore. And it's just amazing how much trust you need and who you trust. And mine was my wife, Jennifer. She took me through this book. You know, she guided me through as I tried to make my way back through piecing my life together.
But I think putting yourself, you put yourself in the shoes of those people.
I did.
What it's like to...
It was therapeutic.
Not remember.
Mm-hmm.
And how much more you could be compassionate towards them.
Yeah.
And this is what I try to say to caregivers all the time. If you think it stinks that your mom has dementia, imagine how it feels to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes caregivers are so upset with the disease, they're not really thinking about
right.
what it's happening to the person.
I told you that already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big deal.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say that to a 2-year-old.
Or maybe.
Some people might. But,
some do.
I had a woman, I spoke about this on the show last week, I had a woman contact me, and her mother's like 96 years old, and she woke up one morning and her mother left her a note, and she said, why do you be so mean to me? Why do you yell at me? You know, yeah. Why didn't, you know, like,
did I do something wrong?
I'm not trying to be bad.
Yeah.
You know, like when you were a little girl, I took care of you. I wasn't mean to you. Don't mm-hmm. be mean to me. And her daughter wasn't being mean to her.
Right.
But, you know, and she said, oh, my God, Linda, when I after I read that letter,
yeah,
I just stopped.
My mom did that just maybe 2 weeks ago. She had a nice moment of clarity as I was helping her with stuff. And she looked at me and she said, now you're the grown-up and I'm the child. And I said, that's the circle of life, Mom. It's all right.
Yep. And you're a good girl, Mama.
Yeah. In fact, I would remind her of that often, that you did such a good job raising the 9 kids. You were a great mom. I was. And I would just try and reinforce that so she wouldn't just feel like a pain in the ass to us. Because it's easy for that to happen.
So she has 9 kids. Mm-hmm. Like, think about 9 kids around the breakfast table. So milk used to come in the bottle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you took took the lid off, and you first pour it, it makes this like glug glug. Makes that sound.
We call it the bloopity bloop.
Bloopity bloop. Okay. So she said, all the kids are arguing. Who's gonna pour it for? You know, who's gonna get to
who
do
gets
the bloopity
bloop today?
Yeah. So one morning she opened up the bottle, she walked around the house, and walked around the table, poured it all over their heads, and said, "There's your bloopity bloop for you."
That's close.
What?
We're arguing so much over it. It's my turn. No, it's my turn. And she just lost it. Poured it over my brother Dave's head. There you go. You got the bloopity bloop. Anybody else want the bloopity bloop? You know, he just fed up to hear. We were like silent the rest of the dinner.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No bloopity bloop.
I don't even need no milk.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you started writing this book, and it was very interesting to me because I know so many people in the book, and I know so many stories, your mom's stories, your stories, just mm-hmm. in being good friends. But I've asked if I could share this, and you said I could.
Yes.
So I am mentioned in the book, and at the end of the book, as Rick is trying to get his memory back, and he's read all his books, and spoken to a lot of different people, it's now time to face a lot of his fans and friends.
On a Zoom call,
because he's now, you know, he's a bestseller, and his books have been made into screenplays, and I want to know which movie I'm going to be in.
All right.
We need to talk about that. So he's going to do this big Zoom call, and he's a little apprehensive. And he said, reluctantly, I agreed. Jennifer poked me again and whispered, just be honest, there was no wrong answer. Jennifer's his wife. And then I say, hi, Rick, it's me, Linda. This one did the now familiar stare, her smile silently asking, do you remember me? Hi, Linda, how do we know each other? And there you have it. I didn't remember this woman. You've read my books, I've read yours, she said. You've been on my radio show many times. We even had Mama Rose on the show. When I asked who Mama Rose was, a sad smile came to her face. She choked out her response. She was the most wonderful woman on the planet, Rick. She was your mother. I suddenly understood what Jennifer had described as a hot flash. If your memory doesn't come back soon, Linda offered, I will be honored to tell you all about her. So needless to say, I sobbed as I read that. And the next day I went to visit Mama Rose, and the day after she went to the Lord.
I'm glad you made it there.
I'm so glad I made it there. And I want everybody to remember about making it there and showing up. Because that day I was like, oh, I'm tired. Oh, I don't know if I feel like driving there. Oh, you know, like all the stuff that you say in your head, and you make an excuse that I'll go next week, or I'll mm-hmm. see them the next time they're in town. You don't, because we didn't know.
Right.
You didn't know. We all knew she's...
No, it was a surprise.
Yeah. Which I think it was very fabulous that it was a surprise.
It was time. She was living in a nightmare at that point, and
it was
getting really tough,
yeah.
Physically failing. And she would forget that she couldn't walk anymore, and get out of bed, use the bathroom, and fall. And there was just too many falls starting to happen.
Yeah, the falls are terrible. Close cousin of mine fell last week. He has a bunch of different issues, and him and his wife had fell asleep in the recliners. And he woke up to go to the bathroom, and he felt a little dizzy, and he fell flat on his face, broke his nose.
So many people have,
you know,
such bruises.
It's,
I hate it.
It's very scary. I'll tell you, that's why I keep carpeting in my bedroom. Because I figure if I get older, at least if I fall down, that will hurt me so much.
That's cute you said, if I get older.
Yeah, no, I'm glad.
It's happening, girl.
I'm glad I said, well, you know, I just had a lot of senior people visit me recently with the baby shower and everything, mm-hmm. staying there. So when you walk up my stairs now, they light up when it's dark.
Oh, nice.
Before you hit the toilet, it lights up. It's like a disco in the bathroom now. It's really interesting. Do we have a caller on the line, Ed? Hello.
Who do we have? Hi. It's Kathy, Linda. How you doing?
Joyful and grateful. How you doing, Kathy?
I'm doing all right. I was really touched by what you guys were talking about, and so I wanted to give Rick my condolences for losing Mama Rose, because I feel like I know her, you know, even though I never met her, just because of the two of you, and I was just so touched always, and I just wanted to call because I just getting emotional and felt like I was a part of things.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much. She was on the show once, and oh, she was just a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's all
good. I saw that. And I saw your bit a few weeks ago, Rick, that you did the Tuesday tip.
Oh.
That was so, I was telling Linda how amazing that was.
Thank you.
Yeah, because it was so calm.
And I learned a lot from Linda.
Yes, she's pretty amazing, but I think she's a good teacher, but you did really well. I just
thank you so much.
I think you're going to impact a lot of people. And your books, too.
Thanks.
Awesome.
I'm still going on Wednesdays to see the people, even though Mom's passed now. I've just, some of them just light up, and it's like a therapy for me, too. It just, it feels good.
I'll have to bring Charlie again one day.
Yeah, Charlie is her dog, adorable.
Yeah, when I went to see Mama Rose there, everybody loved Charlie. It was a good thing.
They did, yes.
Thank you so much for calling in, my friend.
Thank you.
You bet. I couldn't help it. I had to.
Thanks. Have a delicious day.
You guys take care and hug. You too.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Well, any last things you have to say to our listeners? Because I know you have to scoot out of here.
No. Wish me luck. I gotta go through 3 pages of how much my mom meant to all of us, and tell some things that I didn't hold back at all in this book, and now I've got to do it again in front of all these people I know, and I'm hoping that I'm not the sobbing fool that doesn't make you...
You know what? I'll tell you. When I had to do my mother's eulogy, I felt exactly the same way, and I just was a little teary, but I made it through it because she was with me, and I'm just so in love with her. As you are with your mother, it just comes flowing out.
Yes.
All right, my friend.
I got to get out of here.
All right. We'll see you later. Love you, too. And now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help, because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. So somebody posted this on my Facebook page yesterday, and I printed it out because I think it's fabulous. And it says, I wish doctors would give this to all family members dealing with a loved one who has dementia. Number one, if I get dementia, I want my friends and families to embrace my reality. Number two, if I think my deceased relatives are still alive, or if I think we're visiting my parents for dinner, let me believe those things. I'll be much happier for it. If I get dementia, don't argue with me about what is true versus what is true for you. If I get dementia, I'm not sure who you are. Do not take it personally. My timeline is confusing to me. If I get dementia and can no longer use utensils, do not start feeding me. Instead, switch me to a finger food diet and see if I can still feed myself. If I get dementia and I'm sad or anxious, hold my hand and listen. Don't tell me that my feelings are unfounded. If I get dementia, I don't want to be treated like a child. Talk to me like the adult that I am. If I get dementia, I still want to enjoy the things I've always enjoyed. Help me find a way to look at my photo albums, pray, read, and visit with family and friends. If I get dementia, ask me to tell you a story from my past. If I get dementia and I become agitated, take the time to figure out what is bothering me. If I get dementia, treat me the way you would want to be treated. If I get dementia, make sure there are plenty of snacks for me. Even now, if I don't eat, I get angry. And if I have dementia, I may have trouble explaining what I need. If I get dementia, don't talk to me as if I'm not in the room. If I get dementia, don't feel guilty if you cannot care for me for 24 hours, 7 days a week. It's not your fault, and you've done your best. Find someone who can help you, or choose a new great place for me to live. If I get dementia, and I live in a dementia care community, please visit me often. If I get dementia, don't act frustrated if I mix up names, events, or places. Take a deep breath. It's not my fault. If I get dementia, make sure I always have my favorite music playing within earshot. If I get dementia and I like to pick up items and carry them around, help me return those items to their original place. If I get dementia, don't exclude me from parties and family gatherings. If I get dementia, know that I still like receiving hugs and handshakes. If I get dementia, remember that I am still the person you know and love.
I think that's really great. A lot of people don't know that.
They don't know that. And I want to say this to my children while I still can say it. And I want to let them know how I want to be treated and what I want. I mean, there are so many available things today. I have a friend of mine who has Alzheimer's. And he made a video because he knows one day that he's going to be in a community. Mm-hmm. And in the video it says, "Hi, my name is Brian. I don't like breakfast in the morning. I only like coffee in the morning. I like to eat around 10. I like to have music every day, but don't put the Beatles Revolution on in my ears for hours and hours. You know, I want to go out every day. I would like a pet if I could have it. I like this kind of food." So he's setting himself up and the people who are caring for him for success. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so very important.
It is, absolutely.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about Accent Care. I love Accent Care. I'm actually on the board of the Pinellas Accent Care. Mm-hmm. I want to explain to our listeners, too, because Accent Care is still kind of the new kid on the block around here. Everybody knows Suncoast Hospice, mm-hmm. or Empath, which is absolutely fabulous. Both of them are absolutely fabulous. Empath took care of my mom. Accent Care took care of my dad. And both did a fabulous job. And I want people to know that, and I didn't know this until I first hooked up with Accent Care, that hospices are federally regulated. So X amount of numbers of years, the government came in and they said that 200 families or 300 families were not served for hospice because there wasn't enough hospice here. Mm-hmm. And that's when they let a second, I don't know how they do it, they bid for it, or how they pick it, and that's when Accent Care came on the scene here.
Yes.
Okay. I got that straight?
I believe so. I know that's how it worked in Pasco. We got what's called a certificate of need, basically saying that there's a need for more hospice in right. this area, and we think that by bringing in another company, we can serve those needs.
Right, and I just wanted everybody to know, they're all great. Any hospice that I've dealt with, I'm telling you, has been absolutely fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fabulous. So let's talk a little bit about hospice in general and who's eligible for hospice, because everybody hates the hospice word.
Yes.
Because they think hospice is death.
Yes, and a lot of people think that it's the last 48 hours of life,
right.
which it absolutely is not. So
hopefully,
in some cases, yes, but
yeah.
we try to catch them much earlier than
mm-hmm.
that. So each hospice company is different. I can only speak to what we do at Accent Care.
Yeah.
What we do is that we look for referrals to come in either from the doctor's offices, the cancer centers. It can come from the family themselves or the patient themselves as well. We have two doctors sign a certificate of terminal illness stating that they have a terminal illness, such as, you know, cancer, heart disease, anything like that, and that they have 6 months or less to live if you remove any curative kind of treatment.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean 6 months or less. We have people that are truly 24 to 48 hours.
You have people that graduate from hospice.
We have people who graduate who they just get a little bit of that comfort care and they just bounce right back because that's all they needed was a little break from all of the constant treatments. And then we have patients that are with us for what seems like forever. I think our longest patient was with us for 2.5 years before he passed away.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. But see, what people don't understand too is hospice not just helps the patient, it helps the family.
Yes.
And the family waits too long to get that help for themselves.
And it's understandable because sometimes it's our patients who don't want to face the reality that they're dying, and that's understandable. Sometimes it's the family that doesn't want to let them go. And I had to deal with that. I lost my father last year, and because of my experience in hospice, I kind of saw it. I was aware of it. I was able to handle it. My mom had a really tough time with it. And I had to be there to help her get through it, more so than my dad, because my dad was, he was in New York, so he was in a hospice setting,
mm-hmm.
so he was being cared for, and so I had to be there for my mom more so than my dad.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember when it was time, I felt it was time for hospice for my husband, and he was like, don't call hospice. Well, that was during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to him, if something really bad happens to you, they're going to take you to the hospital, I'm never going to see you again, because it's COVID.
Yeah.
And you're going to die in the hospital during COVID. And he's like, call hospice right now.
Yeah, we saw that a lot. So I work for Pasco County, and we actually started taking on patients April 15th, 2020, right smack in the middle of the pandemic. So we saw that a lot with our patients, is that we were having trouble getting some of our services into facilities. They wouldn't let in nurses. They wouldn't let in aides. They wouldn't let me in as a music therapist or our chaplain. We saw people who were declining faster because they were isolated in their rooms. They couldn't see other people in the facilities.
Right.
They couldn't see their family members. They could only see them through the windows, maybe.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. But there were some gifts of COVID. I mean, those people that we had to see through the window, thanks to Mary Daniels, legislation has been changed in Florida that there will always be one essential caregiver, that they can never lock the whole family out again. And I think that's so important because that was terrible during COVID.
Yeah.
It was just terrible, terrible, terrible. So let's talk about music therapy a little bit and how that's used in hospice. Well, I have to tell you. So when my husband was on hospice,
mm-hmm.
the caseworker said, would you like some music therapy, Tom? And he goes, what's music therapy? And I said, well, someone could come and play a guitar or whatever. And he goes, what are they going to play, like Kumbaya? And he said, no, I remember the person said, oh, they could pay Jimmy Buffett or whatever. And my husband said, well, let me think about it for a little while. He said, I just thought about it. He says, if I need music therapy, I'm going to put the Temptations on really loud and Linda's going to dance. I said, I could do that. But it is so important, the music.
Yeah, and I mean, that is a perfectly viable choice for some people. They don't need the therapeutic side of
right.
music therapy. Sometimes just listening to what you enjoy with your loved ones is enough.
Yeah.
But the therapeutic side of it is really, really great in hospice because you can take somebody who is a board-certified music therapist and they can use the music that the patient likes,
yep.
that they remember, that they sing to, they know all the words to, and they can use it to address goals So they can help with pain management, anxiety and depression. It can help promote spirituality with the patient or the family.
Because some of them just remember every church hymn they ever knew.
Yep. And there is, it's especially great for people who have dementia and Alzheimer's, because a lot of times they remember their past. They forget a lot of the present. And part of their past is all of these songs that they grew up listening to on the radio and singing in church and singing with their friends. Yeah. And they still know the words to those songs and the memories associated to them, even all these decades later, even with the dementia and the Alzheimer's. So the reason why music therapy is so great for that is because not only is it increasing orientation, it can increase verbalization. We can get somebody who hasn't spoken in weeks to start saying something, or at least say a word or two of the song.
Right.
It is also really, really great because, wow, I just lost what I was going to say.
I think it just gets the person into it, because it's they just hear the sounds and then the words just come out.
Yes.
I've seen situations where a person doesn't speak all week long in a community until the music man comes.
Mm-hmm.
And the day the music man comes, that person sings but doesn't speak all week long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important.
Yeah.
It's so important. And for your family, too. I have one caregiver. His mom has a lot of issues with sundowners. And she also has some issues with eating. She doesn't want to eat too much.
Mm-hmm.
So what he does every afternoon, right around sundowners time, he makes all little tea sandwiches, like a party. He makes these little tea sandwiches, and he gives her some like sparkling water or whatever, and then they dance away the sundowners.
Yeah.
So she eats the tea sandwiches, and they have a little of their cider or whatever it is, and they dance.
Yeah.
And she doesn't suffer from that anymore.
That's wonderful.
And the neighbor said some of us just watch them through the window, and it just makes us happy too.
Yeah. I remember what I was going to say too.
Go ahead.
It increases the memory recall for people with dementia as well. So, you know, not only are they speaking more, we can have somebody who can say, you know, let's say it's Can't Help Falling in Love. I sing that song a lot for my patients. Well, I can have somebody come along who's got dementia and they aren't really speaking so much anymore. They're not really looking at people, but I sing that song and they look at me and they say, that was my first dance with my husband.
Aww.
I had somebody that I worked with long, long time ago, even when I was back in college as a student. I had, sounds like the beginning to a bad joke, I had a nun, a priest, and a music teacher in a dementia group. And the music teacher had his name, the monk had his, and I had addressed the music teacher. And the monk said, no, that's my name. And I said, oh, your name is this.
Go ahead.
And I said, no, this is your name. And the only reason I went against it is because, you know, that's his identity. We want to make sure he responds to that. And he said, no, that was my name before I went into the monastery. 80-some-odd years ago.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He hardly had spoken a word the entire time I had worked with him. And that was, like, the very first thing he said to me.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't do the music therapy part of it now. What are you doing at Accent Care?
So I help coordinate our volunteers, and I do community outreach. So like this would be considered community outreach because I'm getting the word out there, and I'm trying to make sure people know that we're there, know what we provide, educate on hospice. And with the volunteers, I will help recruit them. I help train them. I oversee their visits, make sure everything's going okay, help address any issues that come up.
Okay, but before I want to talk more about the volunteers, but I just want to say this before I forget. Hospice is no cost.
No.
Please know that, because I've had people tell me I'm not going on hospice because it's going to cost me too much money.
Yeah. We hear that a lot. I feel like half the time I go out and talk to people about hospice, it's about the finances. And it's understandable. You don't want to saddle your family with debt after you're dead. But no, hospice is covered by Medicare, Medicaid, major insurances.
Yeah.
It's covered.
Yes. And hospice is for everybody, even if you're homeless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we work with the Homeless Coalition in Pasco. I can't speak to the Pinellas or the Hillsborough offices.
Yeah.
But in Pasco, we work with the Homeless Coalition so that if there's somebody who does not have housing and they need that medical attention, we find a placement for them in the community. A lot of times it's with an assisted living facility, and we get them a bed. We get them the treatment that they need. They're getting their meals. They have a comfortable place, a safe place to sleep at night, so they don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, and everyone should die with dignity.
Exactly.
Should die with dignity. So know that it's available to everyone. everyone. All right, let's go back to the volunteers. So what are some of the things they can volunteer to do?
So
if somebody's thinking, oh, maybe I would like to do that.
Yeah, so the majority of our volunteers, I would say, are direct care volunteers. And that means that they're going out and they're seeing our patients. And that can provide a couple hours of respite for the caregivers to go out and do an appointment, get their nails done, go grocery shopping, whatever it is they need or want to do.
Go to the doctor for themselves.
Go to the doctor for themselves. I've done a lot of visits like that. Or if they're in a facility, they can provide some companionship, because facilities only have so many staff, mm-hmm. they have so many patients, or mm-hmm. residents, I should say, to look after. So having our volunteer going in allows them to get a little bit more one-on-one attention.
Yeah.
Now, they're not doing any of the duties the staff would. They're not feeding them, clothing them,
just
changing
companion.
Them. Just companionship. You're there to be a friend. And yeah. you can do whatever they like to do. You can do puzzles, read, watch a movie, take a walk, as long as they're transferred into their wheelchair or can walk themselves.
Or just chat.
Exactly.
Or just chat. And I bet you some people really look forward to that.
They do.
And because families can't do everything on their own. They can't do everything themselves. You know, we have mm-hmm. a lot of sandwich generation today that are taking care of their parents and they're taking care of their young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only so many hours in the day. And so if you can have hospice come in and help you with that, because they're going to, and you know what, and they're going to help you too, because I remember when our nurse used to come, she used to take all my husband's vitals, and she said, I think I need to take yours too, Linda. And it made me feel good. I mean, that somebody cared about me, because yeah. I was freaking out, you know? It really made me feel cared for. So I think that's an important thing that people need to know. Hospice is for the whole family.
Yes, and our volunteers can help with other things too. By making phone calls to check in with the family and the patients. They can do phone calls. They get special training after the patient dies. They can make the 6 and 12-month calls that we do to check in on them and say, hey, you know, how are you doing? It's been so much time since they passed. Can you tell me what's going on? And check in on them that way. We have volunteers that have therapy pets that they can take
that's
to
fabulous.
Facilities. They can help us do legacy projects.
I
which
love
is,
them.
It's a craft that we do for the family to remember the patient by. And typically it can be anything from a little fingerprint, like I have a fingerprint on my keychain, or it can be a hand mold.
I have the hands together, my husband and my granddaughter who's due to give birth.
And we can do special things too, like we have a legacy project in our office. Unfortunately, the family never picked it up. But the patient was amazing. He had worked with NASA during the space or the moon launch, and so I had made a painting for him that had his name, his birth year, his death year. It had the moon on it. It had all these stars on it. So that's in our office now.
Yeah,
it's one of our specialty legacy projects.
Well, they also had some of the volunteers make teddy bears for me.
Yeah,
they made a teddy bear for my granddaughter out of the shirt that my husband wore to her wedding.
Yeah,
you know, and I have his favorite flannel shirt, and I can't tell you how much that meant to me.
Yeah. Music therapists, they can put together a CD. We call it a life soundtrack. And what
I didn't know about that.
Yeah. And what I've done in the past, too, is that for people who are open to it or think that it would be a great way to commemorate somebody, I have written songs about the patient or for the patient.
Oh, how cool is that?
So one in particular, she was one of our very first patients we worked with. She was a young woman, and her mother was taking care of her. And it was really, really rough because no parent should have to watch their child die.
Right.
And the daughter wasn't able to respond, not in the way that would be good for songwriting. Like, she could answer yes, no questions, but she couldn't provide many details. So I had talked to her mom because she had loved music. She was into acting, music, all these things. So I had asked her mom, you know, if we talk about her life, you know, would you want me to write a song about her and put it on a soundtrack with all of her favorite music? And she said, absolutely. So we just spent one day just talking all about her daughter, all the places she had traveled to, the things she had done,
oh,
the
wow.
people she had met. And I put it into this song, and I named it after what her mom had called her. So it was her nickname as the title. And I recorded it, and I put it on the CD, and then I followed it with all of her favorite songs, songs that were meaningful, songs that made her happy, that made her dance. And then her mom actually asked me to sing the song I had written at her funeral.
Oh, wow. That's important. It's important that we do these things. You know, I had somebody interview my mother the last 6 months of her life. And she's like, why? And if she ever knew I paid for it, she would have choked me. I said, just for the fun of it, Mama. And the day of my mother's memorial, she brought me 10 CDs of my mother. One is on her faith, one is with me, one's with my daughter, one with my sister. And I can't tell you what a gift that is to have that. Mm-hmm. You know, I could be having a hard day. I pop one of them CDs in, my mom starts laughing. I'm like, get over it, Linda. But right now, Ed's giving me the axe because it's time to hear from our wonderful partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back. So, first of all, if people want to volunteer, how do they contact you? What do they do?
So, they can go to accentcare.com/volunteer, and they can apply. And what that does is that you put in a little information about yourself, specifically your address, and it'll tell you where the nearest office is, and it'll get you in contact with them. Okay. So, we're currently in Pasco, Pinellas, and Hillsborough counties. And we are also a national company, too. So if you're listening into this from another state,
yeah,
you can go on to Accent Care and you can just see what the nearest location is. And if there's one near you, get in contact with your local office. The phone number is right there. I'm sure that they would be happy to have you.
And if you're somewhere where there isn't an Accent Care, there's probably some other hospice there that could use your help, too. Just mm-hmm. contact them. And I'm grateful to anybody who is a volunteer or anybody that works at hospice, because very special people take those jobs. Very special angels fill those shoes. I can remember Joyce Swisher coming and clowning for my mother the day before she passed away in hospice, and what a gift that was. Just absolutely fabulous. But a couple of things I want to let you know that's going on. So Dr. Kate McCarty, who is the keynote speaker at our next conference, May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, is doing a seminar on Wednesday, March 15th. It's at, registration is from 11:30 to noon, and then there's lunch and the seminar, and it's at Arden Court Seminole, and it's Dementia Fairy Tales Old and New. She presented this at my last conference, and it was absolutely fabulous, and Dr. Kate walks the walk, because her partner Mike has dementia, so she's living this every single day. So if you're interested in it, you can call an RSVP to 727-517-7800, and I'll be there, so if you want to come, if we haven't met, please come. You can call 727-517-7800. Had another fabulous support group this morning, a live support group. I have live support groups, and I have virtual support groups, and I have we had a fabulous virtual journaling workshop this week. So if you want to find any of that information, you can go to lindaburhans.com under events. Not just my support groups are there, Kate's support groups are there, St. Anthony's Hospital, there's other support groups there, because I'm not the only kid on the block here. And I want you to have as much availability as you can to any kind of groups that are out there, so you can find all that information. I want to mention again, too, the Disability Achievement Center. There's a program called Diapers for Dignity. So if you need anything for your loved one that you cannot afford, you can contact them, and you can get free incontinence supplies. And the number is 727-539-7550. Thanks so much for being with me today. I so appreciate you. It was a great show. Thanks for being with us, Rick. I'll see you later. Tune in next week for another fabulous show. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day. Mm-hmm.